Hebrews chapter number 11, and for starters, I want to read the whole chapter. I feel that there may even be here someone here tonight who has never read this chapter, perhaps, and I'd like to just read the whole thing and then comment out of it. It's one of the holiest passages in all the Bible. I honestly just feel unworthy at times to read Hebrews chapter 11. I don't know if you've ever felt that way about a text in the Scriptures, but just profound men and women are honored in this chapter, and I just kind of want to bring a memorial evening message. We talked this morning about Memorial Day, about what it means to be an American and a citizen, and to remember all of the war dead. We listed the numbers in the bulletin, and some of you have seen the bulletin, the war dead. We honored these people this morning. From the Revolutionary War up through and including the war in Iraq, 1,162,996. And of course, that number is not accurate, but this is the best we could do humanly to count the number of soldiers that have died. This does not mean those that were injured and later died of injuries or diseases and so on and so forth. I know one of the contributing factors to Dave Peterson's death was the Agent Orange that he contracted in Vietnam, led to other physical complications. Well, his number wouldn't be down here. But many others have died because of injuries sustained. Some would die a few weeks later or months or years later. And then there were so many that were injured and lived the rest of their lives without arms, without legs, without eyes, without hearing. All so we could enjoy the greatest freedom that a country can afford anyone, and that's the freedom of religion. And so we want to remember them. And as I said this morning, there's over a million reasons right there to read your Bible every day. And there's over a million reasons right there to pray every day. There's over a million reasons right there to go out on visitation. It's a liberty we have to go out and to visit people and talk to people about the Lord, as some of us did this week. We seized that opportunity. We couldn't do that in China and some other places. And it's a million reasons why we ought to go to church every time the doors are open. Right there. Because we're going to catch up with some of these people in the next life. These 18, 19-year-old boys, 20-year-old boys, and they might just grill us. They might just quiz us. They might just say, what did you do with that freedom of religion that I gave my life to preserve? What did you do with it personally? And I'd like to give them a good answer, wouldn't you? I'd like to say to them, I serve the Lord, not only because of Jesus, but because of you. You motivated me to want to give my life to the Lord, not waste it. Not live it for the world, or the devil, or the flesh, but to do something for God. I know that that's the heartbeat of many of you here, too. I want to speak tonight on the subject of whom the world was not worthy. Of whom the world was not worthy. In verse 38, you'll see that statement parenthetically recorded for us. I believe it's a statement basically referring to everybody in Hebrews 11, but specifically some unknown men and some unknown women that you'll see as I read the whole chapter here in a moment that God was speaking about. Wouldn't that be a great testimony? Wouldn't that be a great epitaph? Wouldn't that be great if somebody could honestly say of you or I at our funeral service, the world was not worthy to have a man like this live amongst us. The world was not worthy to have a woman like this live amongst us. You know, we ought to live that way, where the world is not worthy of us being amongst them. Some have, for the Bible says, of whom the world was not worthy. This world didn't deserve to have some of these men and women grace its presence. I hope you and I will live that way. This is the faith chapter. Most of you know that. The bookends of this chapter are on one side, chapter 10 and verse 38, where it says, "Now the just shall live by faith." That's the one bookend of this chapter. He's introducing the subject. He's saying the just shall live by faith in chapter 10, verse 38, and then he's going to get to chapter 11 and illustrate what he means by the just shall live by faith. And then the other bookend is chapter 12, where it speaks to us, "Wherefore, seeing we also are encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." In other words, seeing we have all of these testimonies that we just read in chapter 11, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus." And we're going to see that they looked in chapter 11 to Jesus. They looked for a country, a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. They endured as seeing him who is invisible. And we ought to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And so we have declared the just shall live by faith. Then we have illustrations of the just who did live by faith, men and women. And then we have the admonition to us, because we're surrounded by so many cloud of witnesses, because as they watch us run the race from the portals of heaven, let us be like them. Let us be like Moses, who we read about, who said no to the sin of Egypt, esteeming the riches of Christ far greater. So let's read this holy passage, chapter 11. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten Son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was a-dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believe not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. We see here men and women, both known and unknown, mentioned in this chapter who lived by faith. This is not a chapter about saving faith. This is a chapter about living faith. We must be saved by grace through faith. But this is about living faith. This is about times when God chose to accomplish something that to them seemed unique as men and women. This is the faith chapter. We read the word faith 24 times in this chapter, more than any other chapter of the Bible. The phrase through faith is mentioned 5 times. The phrase by faith is mentioned 15 times. And then we're warned by a phrase of without faith 1 time in verse number 6. It is impossible to please God. As we always try to teach around here, faith is trust. Faith is belief. Faith is dependence. Faith is confidence in God and His abilities. The just shall live by faith. Chapter 10 and verse number 38. Faith has a uniqueness to everybody's life. to their trials, to their burdens, to their testings, to their circumstances. Don't get me wrong, somebody else has already gone through what you or I have gone through, but as we have seen in these stories, in chapter 11 as we read them, just as all of the miracles in the Bible were different, so all of the peculiar way that God tested these men and women were different. I do not have any idea tonight in what peculiar way God will test your faith, but I know it will be different than mine. Mine will be different than yours. And there is a similarity in all of our faiths. For the scripture says, let no man say when he is tempted that he is tempted of God. And the scripture also says that there hath no temptation tried you but such as is common to man. Somebody else has gone through something that you have gone through. But then there is that peculiar, perhaps one instance in a person's life that is unique. And these are highlighted in this chapter, where the Lord would say the name of a man, and then he would describe the circumstance that man or that woman had to live through, and how they had a God-given faith to live through that particular circumstance. The just shall live by faith. And I do not know what is going to test your faith someday. See, the Bible talks about faith in general, but then it also talks about faith as a peculiar individual thing. Keep your place here, and just a couple pages towards the back of your Bible is 1 Peter 1 and verse 7. I want you to notice what I mean here. In 1 Peter 1, 7, it says that the trial of your faith, your faith is going to be on trial. Just as these men and women, their faith was on trial. That the trial of your faith, and notice how valuable this is to God. What we esteem as valuable, things like health, family, marriage, money, the things that we hold so often highly esteemed, often are put in the back seat when God comes to testing us. The trial of our faith is more precious than of gold and perishes. It's more important than having money. Though it be tried with fire, that certainly is not pleasant. That's talking about the refining fire of God. Though Job was not mentioned in this chapter, we saw the refining fire of God's test in his life. As he came through, we saw that his faith was not perfect, but he did maintain faith. He continued to trust in the Lord. Even though all of those things I mentioned were taken away from him, the Lord allowed his family to be taken away. The Lord allowed his money to be taken away. The Lord allowed his health to be taken away. Because in the Lord's eyes, the trial of his faith was more precious than him having any of those things. And until we reconcile our thinking with God, we'll never get along with God in this life. We'll always battle him in our hearts. He is going to try our faith. Some of you are going through that trial now, some of you are not. But yours will come, mine will come. When this faith is tried, his goal, verse 7, is that it might be found unto praise and honor and glory, when? At the appearing of Jesus Christ. At the appearing of Jesus Christ. You see, Hebrews 11 is not the last roll call of faith. There will be another one. And it will be yours. And it will be mine. Hebrews 11 is just a roll call of faith. It is just a list of 14 specific men, 2 specific ladies, and several unknown men and women who passed their test. But the trial of your faith, being more precious than gold, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto honor and praise and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. There will be another roll call. There will be another roll call of faith someday. Notice back in Hebrews 11, verse 2, it says, "For by it the elders obtained a good report." Look at verse 39. "And these all, having obtained a good report." Did you enjoy coming home with a good report card once in a while? Very rare for me. But once in a while, I'd come home with a good report card. "By faith, these obtained a good report." Wouldn't it be nice that it would be recorded about us, a good report? But they might say about you someday, "He obtained a good report by faith." She obtained a good report by faith. I believe God's still writing. I believe that not only our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, but our works, our trials, our fellowship is mentioned in the Book of Malachi, that when people fellowship, God writes a book of remembrance about them. Fellowship's important. I believe our works are going to be tried. I hope I can obtain a good report. I hope you can obtain a good report. I hope we will not be counted among those who disobeyed the Lord because we couldn't trust Him when He revealed to us what that special thing was He wanted us to do in our lives. I hope we can obtain a good report when that fiery trial came to our life and we were the one in the church going through it. I hope we can obtain a report that that man or that woman did not go to pieces at that time, but trusted in the Lord, and people, as they observed him or her through that fiery trial, saw their faith did not fail, saw them come through with the faith of a Job that would go so far as to say, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." A Job who had such discernment, who said to his wife, "What shall we receive good at the hand of the Lord, and shall we not we also receive evil?" A man who knew God so much that he said, "Didn't you understand," to his wife, "didn't you understand that there comes an evil day in all of our lives?" It says, "And having withstood in the evil day, and having done all to stand." But some of us, I think, are so proud where we think, "That's not for me. God wouldn't put me through it." But He will. He will. Those coming things, brethren, that you and I have got no idea how severe they may be for some of us. And all the time, it's not God out of control, it's God in control. That the trial of your faith be more precious than gold that perish. We ought to feel honored for God to take the time to refine us. He must think that we're worthy to be refined and prepared unto every good work. These trials of faith are the only thing that can pass on to the next generation of faith. They have got to see us who are older go through things. They've got to see our God come through for us. They have got to see our God provide for us. They have got to see our God answer prayer for us. They have got to see our God use us. To do something. They've got to see it. And so God, in His wisdom, tries us severely. So the little boys and the girls and the church and the teens will be looking and saying, "You know, I guess I can trust God." So our sons and daughters growing up can say, "You know, I guess I can trust God. I guess I can live through poverty." You know, or maybe things that will not be synonymous with our life, but I've seen people maintain their faith in God through a divorce they didn't want. And it wasn't their fault. But they stayed faithful. And to be honest with you, that helps me. Who's never been through a divorce? Because I wouldn't know what it's like. But I can look at their life and say, you know, God got them through that. God got them through the complete loss of their health. God got them through the loss of a loved one. God got them through the loss of a job. God got them through the loss of ability to work by faith. And although my trial may be different, I can draw from those people and say, you know, if God got them through that, I think he can get me through this. That's what Hebrews 11 is about. It's our good God telling us stories about men and women he tried to the max, who came through so we could gaze upon this holy chapter and say, you know, seeing we are encompassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses, I think I'll lay aside every weight and every sin that doth so easily beset me, and I think I'll run my race, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Your faith is unique. I will not go through the trials you're going through, but you will not go through my trials. But you need to live by faith through yours, and I need to live by faith through mine. There is a uniqueness about our personal faith, our living faith with God. Turn to Romans chapter number 14. I want to show you another verse about the uniqueness of your faith. You're going to need faith for things in your life that Art Cole is never going to go through, and I won't be able to coach you. I won't be able to say, well, I know exactly what you should do through this. No, a lot of times I look at people and say, I have no idea what you should do. But I know you can trust God. I know he'll never leave you or forsake you. I'm sorry this is happening to you. I don't understand it. If we understood it, we wouldn't need faith. But you're going through it, and I'll pray for you. And this is why I think Jesus prayed for Peter, that his faith wouldn't fail. We ought to pray specifically for people. When you see the beginnings of a trial come up in somebody's life, you know, somebody said to me recently, a fellow that's been attending our church kind of nominally, on and off, sporadically, and he said, you know, I have just completely lost my son to the world. I have completely lost my son to the world. I don't know what to do. I couldn't go to my office and get out a 10-point, you know, outline and say, well, here's what you do. Number one, I didn't know what to tell them. I did say to them this. I said, I know my dad lost his son for over 3 years. I was in the world, living in sin, living a wicked life. My dad was home crying, praying for me that I would return to the Lord, that I would rededicate my life to the Lord. I said to him, I don't know how long this season is going to last in your life. I have no idea. But I know my dad's faith and example strengthens me to be able to say his prayers brought me back to God. When I was a backslidden carnal believer, it's his trial. I haven't had to go through that trial with any of my children. I may someday. I don't know what they're going to do. But I couldn't relate to them. But I said to them, I said, you know, God has a lot of wayward children. You ought to ask him about it. He's a father too, you know. So maybe you can understand the side of God through this that you'd have never understood another way, and how he feels when he sees his children astray. And I believe he left the church with hope. An expectation, saying, yeah, you know what? If it's the only thing I can do, I'm going to pray for my boy to come back to God. There is a uniqueness about our faith. It's a personal thing between you and God. It can't be boxed up and by one person and given to another and say, well, here's my faith, use mine. You've got to live by faith. Romans 14, 22, hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Notice there, when it comes to this living faith, My faith can't be boxed up and given to you. Your faith can't be boxed up and given to me. You've got to have your own faith in God. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the thing which he alloweth. That personal faith. I think one of the most important scriptures that I know of about faith is Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You've got to have a personal relationship with the Bible. Because faith comes, what that means is literally faith comes in greater measure and greater supply by the word of God. The more of God's word you know, the more faith you'll have. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How sad it is when the trial comes and it's on God's calendar. You've got your date all marked out. I don't know if it's this year, next year, 5 years from now, 20 years from now, but there's a date where God says, okay, it's our time to test him. It's our time to test her. And how sad for the man or the woman who lacking prudence does not become a Bible student in the good times and does not build his or her faith in the good times, and the bad time comes and they go to pieces. And their faith is not there. Don't let that be your testimony. Get into the book every day. Read the book every day. And if anything, claim the promise. Faith comes by hearing. And just, I guess the way I want to describe it tonight is just start storing up faith for when you're going to need it. Storing up examples of men and women in the Bible who've gone through similar things that you'll be able to relate to on that day. I was able to say to the fellow, you know, there's a story about the prodigal son. And the father who watched for his son to return every day. There is a story in the Bible that we can hold on to. It's similar in some way, but it is going to be your faith that you're going to need to get through it. Let's just look at some of the highlights here in closing of Hebrews chapter 11. The Bible describes these men and women this way, in verse 38, of whom the world was not worthy. Of whom the world was not worthy. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing for someone to say about you after you died, the world wasn't worthy to have a man like this walk among us. The world was not worthy of a woman like that to walk among us. Let's be men and women of faith. There's so many highlights here. By faith is mentioned 15 times. Some of the highlights include Abel, the first boy looking forward to Jesus Christ by his sacrifice, the first family. He was the first boy murdered. But you know, Jesus called him a prophet. Did you know that? Did you know the Old Testament is not complete without the New Testament? There are things revealed in the New Testament you'll never read in the Old Testament. And Jesus Christ said Abel was a prophet. He said, you have slain every prophet I've ever sent you, from the righteous Abel to Zacharias. Abel was a prophet. The first boy, the first righteous boy became a preacher. Isn't that great? He was a prophet. And he understood God, and he looked forward by faith to Jesus Christ. And when God said, bring me an offering, he brought of the firstlings of the flock, and he sacrificed an animal. Abel took one of the first animals. He didn't take one of the last. He didn't take one of the spotted or the blemished ones. He took the first, and by faith, he looked forward to when the Messiah would come. Did he know about the Messiah? His mother did. His father did. The Messiah, the seed of the woman, is spoken about in Genesis 3. Abel's not talked about till Genesis 4. And I believe Adam and Eve, though fallen, still taught their children and said, look, the seed of the woman, the virgin-born Son of God, is going to come for us and die for us someday, but until then, God requires that blood be shed. And Abel was called righteous because he offered a sacrifice by faith, looking forward to Jesus Christ. And Cain, of course, rejected the counsel of his parents and said, no, I will work my own way to heaven. I'm going to plant a garden over here and I'm going to impress God with my own works. And God had respect to Abel's offering, but not to Cain's. And in the process of time, religious jealousy, religious pride, which is the worst pride, which has caused more murder in the world than anything else, religion, caused Cain to slay Abel. But Abel, it says, being dead, yet speaks. He spoke tonight to us. Even though he's the first human being that was ever killed, still speaking, saying, look to Christ. Enoch, please God. In a day and age when nobody else pleased God, it was sometime later in history where it says men finally began to call upon the name of the Lord. But by faith in verse 5, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. He becomes a type to us of the rapture. And he was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. The wording in Genesis is this, Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Living in a world when people were not walking with God, Enoch said, I'm going to walk with God. And the world's not worthy of such a man. The world is the same way today. There's not a lot of people lining up to walk with God day by day. But before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Before the rapture, I want to encourage you by faith to say, I'm going to live in such a way that I'm going to please God. Abraham, his trial of his faith was different. He was asked to go out, not knowing whither he went, verse 8. With a wife, with a nephew, with others relying on him, just saying, follow me, where are we going? I don't know. Why don't you know? God hasn't shown me, but he just said, go in this direction. It takes a lot of faith to do that. Especially amongst men with our analytical minds, we want everything mapped out. We want everything planned out. We want to have our finances all secure and our house all secure. We want to build a life of security, and there's nothing wrong with that as long as you're willing to trash it in a second should God call you to do something else. And God has done that. There's been many a time in history where God has spoken into the heart of a millionaire or a well-to-do person and saying, I want you to leave it all, and I want you to go to such and such a place so people are going to hate you. We're not going to respond to you, and you're going to live in poverty and in bad health, but you're going to go bring Christ to that nation. And there have literally been people who've looked upon Abraham's testimony here and said, you know, if Abraham did it, I can. He went out not knowing whither he went. Sarah, one of two specific ladies mentioned in verse 11, again, the Old Testament is not complete without the New Testament. The Old Testament is not complete without the New Testament. Because what you read about Sarah in these verses is not mentioned in the Old Testament. It says, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful. You know, every one of us judges God. We have no right to, but we do. You see it all the time. I remember judging God once. I heard a guy preach on tithing. I said, there's no way. I'm not doing that. I need that 10%. How in the world am I going to live without that? Well, God will take care of it. Yeah, how's God going to take care of me? I give him away money. That doesn't make sense. You know, and I had to keep knocking my stubborn head against the wall through life's ups and downs and knocks. And finally, when I was a financial wreck, I said, you know, maybe I can live without that 10% and God's blessing. I think I'll do that by faith. And we've exercised that by faith for some 27 years now, where God has always gotten the first fruits of everything that's come through my hands, my wife's hands. And He's just blessed, and many of you have an even better testimony than I, but you know, we judge God. Every promise in the book, we judge Him and say, let's see, can He keep that one or not? I don't think so. Can I go out and witness and have God use me to win souls? And I don't think so. Now, He says He will. But sometimes we judge Him unfaithful and say, well, He wouldn't use me. What a great woman Sarah was. Now, you don't get this in the Old Testament. See, what you get in the Old Testament is what? Sarah laughed. Sarah laughed. I laughed about tithing once. That's crazy. This guy's after my money. What a money-making scheme that is. Who does he think he is? I laughed at it once. God puts up with that. You know that? What a great God He is. You say, go ahead and laugh. We'll get back around to this. Let's go on to something else. Sarah laughed at first, didn't she? But then it says, through faith, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful. Eventually she said, you know what? Doesn't matter if I'm 90 years old. This is what God said. God can do this. The next thing you know, she's having a baby. One of the greatest tests of all, I think, is found in verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And verse 19 is not recorded in the Old Testament. We have no record of Abraham thinking of this in the Old Testament. The Old Testament is incomplete without the New Testament. But in the New Testament, we have this insight into his heart, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. That means that Isaac was going to do it when he lifted up that knife. He was going to do it. He said, Isaac's not even married. God said, in his seed shall all the world be blessed. He's never had a kid. Now God's asking me to kill him. 1 + 1 = 2. I'm going to kill him. But he's going to get married and have children, so God's going to have to raise him from the dead. Here we go. We put a story one time in the bulletin. You may remember the story about the guy in the boat with the two boys. Something happened, or that capsized or something. I forget the details, but the two boys were out there drowning. And I believe he had a lifesaver or something that he could throw to one of them. Save his life. And you threw it to the one boy that he felt was unsaved. And saved his life and got him to the boat because he knew the other boy was saved. Later on, the boy that was saved from drowning accepted Jesus as a Savior, grew in the Lord, and became a pastor. And he introduced the old man later in life to the church and said, this is the man that saved my life. Threw me the lifeboat. And that day, he chose me over his own son. Let his own son drown because he knew his son was saved and I wasn't. Wow. I have no idea how you or I might be tested someday. But I hope we'll live by faith. Moses so focused on the next world that he rejected the riches of Egypt. He could have lived in riches in Egypt, in Pharaoh's house, the richest country on earth, in the house of the richest man on earth, and he chose it all. He chose to leave it all behind because he esteemed the riches of Christ far greater. That's faith, to be able to look into the unseen. It says he endured of seeing him who is invisible. He says, no, God, I can't see it. I can't see that country. I can't see that city, but my God has a lot more than Pharaoh will ever have. And by faith, he turned toward God and went out into a wilderness with nothing. Nothing but problems. He did it by faith. Joshua is not mentioned, but in verse 30, we see he is alluded to by faith. He did something no human reasoning could explain when he would walk around Jericho with the armies of Israel for 7 days in silence. Then on the seventh day, seven times, and blow their trumpets, break their pitchers, and shout. And the walls came down. Rahab, a harlot, an ungodly woman, began to hear reports of all the great things that God was doing for the children of Israel in the wilderness. And she welcomed the spies into her house and she said, "Please save me. Please save my family. I believe in your God." And they said, "Okay, tie a scarlet thread and anybody that's inside your house when we come back will be saved." When you read that story, she packed her house full of her loved ones, family, relatives, everybody she could. She got them into safety. By faith, she saved them from God's judgment. Others, in verse 34. I got a statement in verse 34 underlined in my Bible. It said, "Out of weakness we're made strong." And then in the side of my Bible, I got this word, M-E. I'm not as strong as I should be, but boy, I was one of the weakest men that ever lived. And by faith, God has helped me to become strong. We see unknown women. Unknown women way back in verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, especially his mother, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Who were they? The Hebrew midwives. Verse 23, the Hebrew midwives were not afraid of the king's commandment. The king said, "Kill all the boys. Kill them all." But the Hebrew midwives, these unknown women, were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, they said, "We're going to do right in God's eyes." And then notice, they saved a boy's life named Moses. And it says he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He lived by faith, and I want you to notice a statement in verse 27. By faith he forsook Egypt. Now notice this next phrase. Not fearing the wrath of the king. Where do you suppose he learned that from? He learned it from his mother, who didn't fear the wrath of the king. We need moms of faith. We need dads of faith so we can train champions for the next generation. Because Moses said, "My mother didn't fear the king. I'm not fearing the king. I'm going to do right in God's eyes, of whom the world was not worthy." It wasn't all victories. It says in verse 35, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. Verse 36, others had trial, cruel mockings and scourgings. Yea, moreover, bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. They wandered in deserts, verse 38, and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth, of whom the world wasn't worthy, and they did it all for one reason. At the end of verse 35, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Did it all for one reason. They knew their faith was going to be brought up at the roll call someday, at the appearing of Jesus Christ. They said, I just don't want to have a resurrection. I want a better resurrection." They wanted to obtain a better resurrection. This summer, when you see a lot of believers taking off from God, living in sin, living in the world, partying, and laying out of church, closing their Bibles, forgetting to pray, not wanting to go out on Tuesday night visitation or Saturday visitation, and so on and so forth. When you see others do that, you walk by faith. And you say, let them mess up their resurrection, but I want to obtain a better resurrection. You may just about have to walk alone like these men and women did. Noah, preacher of righteousness, moved with fear. Preacher of righteousness, 100 years building the ark, not one convert. I'm sure a lot of mockery. But he said, I'm going to face God someday, and my faith's going to be tried. I'd like to obtain a better resurrection. There's people quitting all around us. I don't know if you've noticed that. They quit the life of faith. It shows rather pleasure and worldliness. I want to encourage you to aim, as it says in verse 2 and verse 39, for a good report. By faith, the elders obtained a good report. Live by faith. Don't just be saved by faith. Live by faith. So when your faith is put on trial, when God says, okay, let's examine his faith, let's examine her faith, you can have a better resurrection. Our Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for this chapter of people of whom the world is not worthy. This vile, wretched, wicked world is not worthy of men and women like we've read tonight. Men and women both known and unknown. Lord, may it be said of us the same, not proudly. And may we never say it of ourselves. But may others say of us someday, honestly, the world wasn't worthy for such a man like that to walk among us. The world was not worthy for such a woman like that to walk among us. Oh God, increase our faith. We pray that our faith would not fail, but that you'd give us a greater measure and supply of faith, and that we would strengthen our faith and store it up in the good times so when the trials come, we will trust in you with all of our heart. Now we just pray, Lord, that you bless the rest of our evening together in Jesus' name. Amen.